Morning. Shall we pray? Father God, thank you that you are love. You show us the most perfect version of love. And so, Lord, we ask that you'll speak to us this morning and that you'll challenge us about what this can look like in our lives. Amen. All right, well, I wonder if I was to ask you how many times you've used the word love this week, what would you say? Some of you might be sat there thinking, I probably haven't used the word enough times this week. But others of you might be thinking, I use that word all the time. It's a very popular word in my vocabulary. In general, I think it is a word that we throw around a lot, and often we use it without really thinking about its full meaning. But maybe this week, let's have a try this. Kevin, I might need some help. Oh, no, it's okay. Maybe this week you told a family member that you love them. You might have written the word in a card. You might have said it at the end of a FaceTime or a phone call. You might have used it when referring to your football team. I am pretty sure my family have used the words, I love Newcastle United, this week. It's been a good week. Or if you're me, I can't even count the number of times I'm like, I just love this dog, I love you so much, to the dog. And to John, obviously, as well. I know there's other people in the room who can relate. Well, one of the truly great blessings of being a youth pastor over quite a lot of years is that occasionally you get invited to the wedding of one of your sort of ex-young people that grew up in your youth group. And this summer, John and I were really privileged to get to go to not one, but two weddings of people who grew up in our youth group. One was Esme Howard's, and one was Ben Lambert's. And it was just such a privilege to be there, and they were really beautiful occasions. And at Ben's wedding, the preacher, the guy who did the sermon, started his sermon like this. What is love? Baby, don't hurt me. Don't hurt me no more. Feel free to dance or just consider the words. No more. So, today we have been given the theme, Love Looks Different. And to help us to consider that, to help us consider what it means, we're going to pose that question of the song, what is love? And I want to start with a small disclaimer. I'm about to make some comparisons between worldly love and godly love, and it's to emphasize a point that without God, love isn't all that it could be. But I do want to say, I've been thinking this week, there's lots of people who aren't Christians who love in really inspirational ways. And actually, maybe God's even in the midst of those situations before they even know it. So, what is love? Well, God's love is an action, not an emotion. You see, I think it's time to change the meaning of the word love. As you will know, the world most commonly describes love as an intense feeling of deep affection or to like or to enjoy very much. And people kind of subscribe to this idea, don't they, that love is about how we feel and that somehow if we don't have this deep sort of intense feeling within us, maybe we don't actually love the person or the thing in question. But Jesus shows us that love looks different. For a little bit of context, the events that happened in that passage that we just heard read in John 13, they took place in Holy Week, which is the week leading up to Jesus' crucifixion. And right at the start of John 13, in verse 4, just a tiny little word stood out to me as I was preparing for this, and it's the word so. It's an important little joining word in the verse that brings to meaning what's about to happen. Let's have a look. Now, this might be a little bit small, but I'm going to read it. Jesus knew that he had come from God and was returning to God. So, he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet. I'm thinking that word so is kind of important. It's as if the passage is saying because Jesus knew his time on earth was limited, there was something he needed to do. There was something he needed his disciples to see and to learn from him. He needed to show them the full extent of his love. And the way that he chose to do that was by washing their feet. Quite often in youth, we like to do an object lesson because sometimes people engage better with concepts if they can see something visual. And I was thinking this is like Jesus' object lesson for the disciples. He wants to show them something to kind of make a point and to help them to understand. This was not about feelings or emotions. This was Jesus' practical demonstration of what love looks like. And there was nothing passive about it. It was an action. However, there was more to it than that. So, what is love? Well, God's love is selfless, not selfish. Have a look at these song lyrics. If you can see them, I will read them. First one, Ed Sheeran, very popular. "And I miss the way you make me feel. It's real. We watch the sunset over the castle on the hill." Or a bit more retro, The Temptations, "I guess you'd say, what can make me feel this way?" And I was thinking it's like often reflected in song lyrics, isn't it? That worldly love can be quite focused on what I can get. Like in each of these songs, in lots of different songs actually, loving someone is about how that person can make you feel. It's about what you can get out of the relationship. Or when we say we love our car or we love our job, we love our home, it's normally about the benefits that those things bring to us. But Jesus shows us that love looks different. When Jesus washes his disciples' feet, it's nothing to do with what he can get out of it. And it's all about what he can do for the people around him. I want to invite you to picture the scene, the roads of Palestine. They're unsurfaced, they're uncleaned. In dry weather, they'd be inches deep in brown dust. In wet weather, they'd have been liquid mud. Sometimes when I wear sandals on holiday on much cleaner streets than that, I still look down at my feet and I think, they are very dirty. You know, sometimes when you take them off, you can see where the straps have been and you think, oh, my feet are quite dirty. But just thinking about the disciples kind of trudging through all of this dust and mud, washing their feet would not have been a pleasant job. And what's important to know is that in a wealthy household, there would have been a bowl of water at the door and the lowest slave would have been the one that did the foot washing. But on this occasion, Jesus, who, let's remember, had just been welcomed into Jerusalem not long before and kind of hailed as King Jesus and worshipped as King Jesus, he humbled himself and he takes on the place of a slave, the one at the very bottom of society, and he washes their feet. It's the dirty job. It's the job that nobody else wants to do. That is what it looks like. And that's what love looks like to Jesus. And it's his way of showing who God is. There's a hideous ride at Yarm Fair. I don't know if anyone's been on it. There it is on the right on the screen. It's basically this kind of long arm, vertical arm thing with a few seats at the bottom. And I think it might actually be called pendulum. It swings you sort of from side to side like a pendulum, and gradually you get higher and higher until it sort of takes you over and you're hanging upside down in the air for what feels like a very long length of time. I cannot recommend it. It is a quite unpleasant experience when the blood rushes down to your head as you're kind of dangling there. But it certainly gives you a very different perspective on Yarm High Street as you hang upside down very high above it. Jesus washing his disciples' feet gives us a really new perspective on life. And it gives us a picture of the upside down nature of God's kingdom, where the greatest will become the least. Where Jesus, their Lord and their teacher, reveals himself as the one who's in last place. It's actually such a radical idea. Like the closest sort of picture I could think of it was having King Charles come round to your house to clean the toilets. It's kind of just like unimaginable, isn't it, to us? Jesus shows us that if you truly love people, you'll serve them. God's love is never about self. It's always about the other person. It's about what's in their best interests, how we can serve them, what we can do for them. God's love always focuses on giving and serving, never on getting. So I guess a question for us all to think about this morning, are we willing to follow Jesus' example of serving the people around us, of doing those difficult jobs, the dirty jobs, the inconvenient jobs, so that we can show people that we love them? What might that look like for you? And we just pray, Jesus, will you show us now, like, will you drop ideas into our heads of what that needs to look like in our life? But there is more to it than even all of that. So what is love? God's love is unconditional, not conditional. I guess I found that worldly love often fades when circumstances change or if expectations aren't met. My friends let me down, so I'm going to kind of ditch that friendship. Or my colleague has a different opinion to me, so I'm going to like show them a piece of my mind. A really big thing in society at the minute is cancel culture, which is where you reject someone, essentially, because their views or their actions are unacceptable to you. I wonder what your response is to difficult people. If I'm being really honest, my response to difficult people is just to distance myself a bit, because that's going to be easier for me. Worldly love comes with conditions, and if they're not met, worldly love can quickly come to an end. But Jesus shows us that love looks different. Jesus washed Judas's feet, knowing that he was literally about to betray him. He washed Peter's feet, knowing he was about to deny him. And he washed the other disciples' feet, knowing that he'd be deserted by most of them for a time. For Jesus, love wasn't conditional on the way other people treated him. He showed them the full extent of his love. Despite their betrayal, he didn't withhold anything from them. He truly lived out his own teaching from the Sermon on the Mount, which is where he was describing the traits that he was looking for in his followers. And he said, I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Jesus shows us that our desire shouldn't be to keep score, but it should be to love and forgive. And to forgive and to overcome evil with good. So I also wanted to ask you today, like, who might be your Judas or Peter? Who are the ones that have let you down or are difficult for some reason? Maybe you have been betrayed, or maybe you just disagree. Maybe you don't get along, or that person hasn't been nice to you. It's just difficult or hard. What would it look like for you to love that person? The world really takes notice of that, because that is so unusual. Have a look at these magnets. We all know that opposite poles attract to each other. But if we try to attract the same poles, it just won't work. They kind of repel as much as I try. And I think it's a bit like that with loving our enemies. It can feel sort of the same as this. Like we're kind of repelled by this idea that we should have to love someone that has hurt us or who has betrayed us. But that's not how God has called us to live. As his followers, we're called to love. Nikki Gumbel shares a really great story in one of the Bible in a Year devotionals. And it says this: an amazing example of this love was in February of 1977, when Bishop Festo Kivengeri was part of a group of church leaders who delivered a letter of protest to the dictator Idi Amin, speaking out against the beatings, killings, and unexplained disappearances taking place across Uganda at the time. The next day, Festo Kivengeri's friend, Archbishop Janani Luwum, was murdered by Idi Amin, and Bishop Festo was driven into hiding and then into exile. Soon afterwards, Festo Kivengeri published a book entitled I Love Idi Amin. In the book, he explained the extraordinary title. He said, the Holy Spirit showed me that I was getting hard in my spirit. So I had to ask for forgiveness from the Lord and for grace to love President Amin. This was fresh air for my tired soul. I knew I'd seen the Lord and been released. Love filled my heart. It's important to know that this act of foot washing was only partially about teaching us to serve the people around us. There was much greater meaning to it than that. It sort of foreshadowed Jesus' imminent act of love upon the cross. And I kind of love to picture Peter in the midst of all of this, sort of, again, like if you want to put yourself in the scene and picture Peter, I kind of picture him watching as Jesus washes the other disciples' feet, and I guess as he makes his way around to Peter. And seeing his master doing this causes Peter to have a very confused expression on his face in my mind. You see, Peter just has not understood like the full picture of what's happening here. And he says to Jesus, you shall never wash my feet. Like, I don't want you to wash my feet. And his response reminds me of something we used to do in Julos. For anyone that doesn't know, Julos is a Teesside-wide leadership program for young people, and that it's all about teaching them to learn, to lead the way that Jesus did, which is obviously all about serving and loving. And so we used to start, a little while ago, we used to kind of take them on a residential, and we'd start with this foot-washing ceremony. But as you can imagine, there were quite a few complaints about this, because they did not want people to see their feet, they did not want other people to touch their feet, and it was a little dramatic at times, and it came to a certain point where we were like, we're probably not going to do that anymore. But actually, I don't know if you've ever had your feet washed in that way. It is actually such a vulnerable thing to do. I'm not going to lie, I would be the same as them. I'm like, no, I don't want anyone near my feet. It's humbling, and it's not easy. And for Peter, Jesus is his Messiah. He's his Savior. He's like, I can't let you wash my feet. He couldn't cope with that idea. But Jesus says to Peter, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. In other words, this act of foot washing was symbolic of the spiritual washing clean that we receive because of Jesus' death and resurrection. So Peter then responds, well, then not just my feet, Lord, but my hands and my head as well, like fully wash me. And Jesus says, but those who've had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean. Jesus is saying that when we commit our lives to him, we are washed clean and we're forgiven forever. Like when you have a bath, like when you're fully clean. We don't need to keep coming back and back and asking for our salvation. But when we walk through the world, we pick up dirt. And that dirt can get in the way of our closeness with God. And so we need to keep returning to him and just regularly asking that he cleans us, that he washes us clean, so that we can have that closeness with him. It's all this like really beautiful picture of what love looks like to Jesus. It looks like sacrificing his life for you and for me on the cross. It looks like undeserved forgiveness and grace. And it looks like us as flawed human beings being able to enter into relationship with holy and awesome God. It's worth us remembering at times that we are Judas, we are Peter, we let God down again and again. But the amazing thing is that God knows us completely. He knows us inside out. He knows the sins we've already committed. He knows the ones that we're yet to commit. And still, he loves us. How do you respond to that type of love? So with all of that in mind, I ask again, what is love? Well, I think God's love is gritty and difficult and messy and hard, not hearts and chocolates and flowers, but it is the most amazing type of love we could ever experience. I wonder what stood out to you as we've kind of walked through this passage or what God might be whispering to you from it about what this will look like in your life. For me, something that stood out to me is just that godly love is so incredibly different to what the world commonly offers to us as love. Worldly love is sort of floaty and emotional, but Jesus says love looks different. Godly love looks like washing dirty feet and laying down your life. What Jesus asks of us is intensely challenging. He says, now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash each other's feet. I've set an example that you should do as I've done for you. So given that it's such a challenge, why should we do this? Jesus actually offers us a couple of answers to that question right here in John 13. So firstly, he says, now that you know these things, you'll be blessed if you do them. So it's worth noting that it's one thing to know what we need to do, but it's another thing to actually do it. And we'll be blessed when we actually do it, when we live this out. There is blessing for us in it. Secondly, the passage ends with, very truly I tell you, this is Jesus, very truly I tell you, whoever accepts anyone I send accepts me. And whoever accepts me accepts the one who sent me. That was like a big revelation to me as I read that this week. Because who has Jesus sent? He sent you and he sent me. Tom Wright says this, you probably won't realize it at the time. You'll probably be too busy thinking of the people you're serving. But as you look back, you may be startled by the joy of realizing that as you walked into that house, that hospital, that place of pain, of love, of sorrow, of hope, Jesus was walking in, wearing your skin, speaking in your tone of voice. that's like a huge like revelation for me. When we love people, when we serve people like this and follow his example, we actually introduce them to Jesus. They will see him. Jesus didn't wash his disciples' feet just to get them to be nice to each other. His goal was to extend his mission on the earth after he was gone. These disciples were about to move into the world and they were going to love and serve all the people around them. And as they did so, they were going to introduce those people to Jesus. So if we want people to know Jesus, maybe a great place to start is think like, how can we serve these people? What would that look like? We started with a song, so I'm going to end with a song. There's a really famous band called the Black Eyed Peas, and they wrote a very famous song, and I think it's just resonated with so many people that it's had nearly a billion views on YouTube. And it's been played at some really desperate times in the world. One example of that was an Ariana Grande concert that you might remember took place to support people who were affected by... when a previous concert of hers in Manchester was bombed. And this song was played at that concert. Have a listen to the words of the chorus.
People killing, people dying, children hurt and you hear them crying. Can you practice what you preach and what you turn the other cheek? Father, 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 help us. Send some guidance from above. These people got me questioning.
So that song poses a different question, and that question is, where is the love? Because sometimes when you look at the world, you can see it, but other times when you look at the world, it's really hard to find it. But we know where it is. God is love, and all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. So, what is love? Well, love is active, and it's selfless. It's not striving for position, but it's lowering ourselves. It's putting other people first. It's being humble. Love is unconditional. It's expressing forgiveness to the ones that it's really, really hard to forgive. It's serving, and it's kind, and it's compassionate, and it's tough, and it's sacrificial, and it's beautiful. And when we do it, we share who Jesus is with the world around us. So how do we do it? Only in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's all I've got. Only in the power of the Holy Spirit. We can only do it with him. We work alongside him. And so as we finish today, we're going to just be praying like, Holy Spirit, come and rest on us. We can only do this in your strength and in your power. We need you. Amen.